Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now, and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
I want to give you three words. And we're going to take the three words and look at them. And from them, from the synergy that we'll create in understanding how they all go together and what their purpose is when they're placed next to each other and within each other, we're going to learn about a completely different way it's possible for us to live, which I assume is why you're here, why you're listening to this talk, because to some degree or another, and it matters not what degree, only that there is some of it, you have begun to recognize that you have yet to answer that quiet, hopefully persistent longing in your heart to find something greater in this life than what you've found. Simple, really. We're created, each and every one of us, right at the outset, even before the body, to tell you the truth, with something that longs to be united, that longs to be one with that which lends in that relationship a sense of meaning, a sense of goodness, a sense of depth, of strength, of truth. That's inside of us, this wishing and longing to know what is greater than ourselves. That longing, when it's thrown out into the world that we live in, is answered by Madison Avenue. It's answered by a world full of people who believe that they found the answer in the world that they were born into, and did nothing, and somewhat innocently for most cases, but pass along just a host of wrong ideas about what it takes to find this other life. So the three words are knowledge, relationship, and authority. Knowledge, relationship, and authority. And I think I want to say right here something that I want you to let in. There is no condition in your life, I don't care who you are, what you've been through, what you anticipate, there is no condition in your life that exists as the cell that the person within it takes it to be. I'll say it more simply. I don't care what it is that's happened to you, including what you're feeling listening to this, that has authority over you. The human heart, it riles against that. I mean, there does come a time when human beings submit because they've never been given the knowledge they need to start the authentic change that leads to new relationship, and out of that new relationship, new authority. The world is dead set against you having the knowledge, and the world inside of yourself, by the way, is dead set against you receiving the knowledge that makes it possible for you to start changing in your own heart, in your own mind, the relationship that you have with the world. See, the way the world is, you're given the world, and you're given the world in order to have relationship with the world through it. That's it. You're given the ideas, the principles, the purposes, the plans, the dreams, the aspirations that the world says is what makes a human being successful and complete. Get this, do that, marry this, get a picket fence, get whatever it is, do all of these things, and by God, if you do that, because you have followed the plan the world has laid out, you yourself will find the fulfillment that your heart is looking for. And our lives are the evidence of the insidious emptiness in that. Because part of the insidious emptiness in that is that the world says, there's more, just get it. So a person continually runs into this sense of emptiness in their own heart, and then is continually having filed back in their mind the content of their own experience that tells them, because that's what the world said, this is how you get rid of this terrible feeling. And by the way, and the anger and the conflict and the frustration that's born out of continually having to reinvent one's life. So when I say knowledge, relationship, authority, I'm talking about another kind of knowledge altogether. Oh, and you'll always know it too. You know, you always, haven't you had this wonderful experience? You may be reading something, or you may be listening to a talk like this, or you could just be out to dinner with friends, and somebody will say something, you'll hear something, you read it, and when you hear the truth of it, I used to love to watch my, I had a Rottweiler named Tessie, and whenever she would hear something that was unusual, you know, have you ever seen, they go like this, and what they're doing is they're trying to get the whole sound. You know, they know that's something unusual, instead of going like this all the time. When we hear the truth of something, there is a corresponding part of us that as it hears it, goes. And in the moment that it registers what we've heard, suddenly comes into us a recognition that what we've heard was never outside of us. It never existed as something different than we. It's just that we weren't where we could hear that. There was something in the way of the truth. So that's the first piece of knowledge a person has to have. Because you believe, and it's part of the way the mind works, you believe that you want this knowledge. You ask a person, do you want knowledge that's going to change your life? They go, that's me. I want real knowledge that's going to change my life. But knowledge that comes into a human being that isn't used by that human being in his or her relationship with the moment poisons the human being into whom that knowledge comes. Because knowledge is no good unless it becomes actualized through personal interior work. Then because of the personal interior work, listen, a new relationship is born inside of the human being. And the new relationship inside of the human being is not the relationship we think of in terms of relationship, which is we know ourselves through people and places and things outside of ourselves. The new relationship is first with a way in which a person sees himself, knows himself, feels himself. That's the first new relationship. And it can't change until something new is stirred inside of the human being by the presence of these seeds, these truths. That's why they were placed here. What a world this would be. I can't even begin to think about it. If there weren't sown into it principles that upon touching certain part of a human being, stir it so that the individual recognizes that that which is eternal must live within the individual prior to his or her recognition of its existence in them. So suddenly here's a taste of something, a piece of knowledge that's true, and I feel the knowledge, I feel the truth of it. And when I feel the truth of it, do I not feel the eternity in the knowledge itself? So, what is that taste? What is that unusual flavor that I heard this idea and I can't get it out of my mind. I know there's something more to it. Any treasure hunters here? By the way, if you're a true spiritual man or woman, you're a treasure hunter. You're hardwired. You can't help yourself. Of course, like I said, the first thing that happens is the world says, here's the treasure, there's the treasure, there's the treasure, and you go out. How many of you have got a little treasure from this life? Raise your hands. You know, if you're a human being, you've got a little treasure. And I want to state this, because we're still talking about knowledge. There's nothing wrong with those things in themselves. A good husband, a good wife, a good friend, a simple place to live that you don't have to worry about how you stay there, decent food, a good book, music. These things don't cost anything. And we've had that. But the point is that those things that we have had that are what we'll call the natural treasures of our lives, something happens to them. The gold of that which we have gained loses its luster. And when the gold that we have gained, whether it's the gold of him, her, this or that, when the gold that which we've gained loses its luster, then because of the way the mind is, it then sets out on another treasure hunt, saying to itself, well, this no longer satisfies me because I don't get the sensation I used to from him, her, this or that. So what I have to do is replace him, her, this or that with a treasure that will be more sustainable. And then that mind pursues and finds and finally possesses again what it believes will produce for it this treasure. And that's what life is, over and over. And how many of you know what I mean by over and over and over again? So here's the point. I can't think of the name of it, but I saw a special on it some years ago. There's an island somewhere on the East Coast where some pirate put a gazillion dollars. And they've been people looking this for this thing like since the 1700s. Have you seen that special? And the deeper they go, the more traps they find. The more traps they find, the more sure there are they're on the path to the treasure. And some people are beginning to say now that the whole thing is just a big ruse. There's no treasure, just traps. Now, for our case, what I want to point out here is that often pirates, in a certain kind of arg wisdom, they would place a treasure on top of the treasure. So that when you did the work and got the treasure, you thought you found it. And you'd go away with not the treasure, but the lure. And that's what's happened to us.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's guyfinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
We've come to believe that our thoughts and the extraordinary sensations they produce as they pursue their own objects. We've come to believe that the sensation that thought produces is the same thing as having found the source of life. And so the knowledge, the first thing that we have to have if we're going to become different human beings, and I want to say this, but I'm not going to shout it. I'm moved right now to shout it because I can see some of you in your deep spiritual complacency thinking you know this. If you know this, why do you keep falling in holes? The knowledge that there is indeed, and this is what's happened to us. The knowledge that there is a treasure beneath this treasure. Now, what does that mean? That this life taken at its own ends is not the treasure. That's as simple as it can be said. And where do you need more evidence of that other than in the shell of your own life?
Because that's what happens to human beings who think they know what the treasure is. They go and they try to get it. The treasure dissolves. It loses its luster. And as it loses its luster, they're driven right back through the same system again until cynicism and anger and bitterness takes the place of the heart of the man who knew at the start of it that there was a treasure beneath the treasure. And that's what, if there's one message, all the rest of it's ballyhoo as far as I'm concerned. Belly high, whatever it is. Big belly. Because you can talk till the cows come home. And until a person starts to trust in the smallest way, this little bit of that nature inside of them, that when it hears what is true, it says, wait a minute. Now there's treasure. That's real treasure. There's something inside of what was said. I always have the words. How many of you ever had the words but not the treasure beneath it? You know what I'm talking about. You know, all we need is love. Beautiful words about a treasure. Where's the treasure beneath it when someone doesn't do what you want them to do? So knowledge. And then that knowledge produces in a human being the first essential change. But not the knowledge itself, but the person's willingness to embrace and employ it in the moment in which it's possible to see one's life through that new understanding. Because what is knowledge other than a description of understanding? So now I have new knowledge, then I know there's something valuable in it. Can I, in the moment when I'm talking to my husband or my wife or my friend, or when I'm looking at what I have to do tomorrow and all that racing is going on in my mind, can I in that moment recognize by the very fact of my own suffering, my own angst, can I recognize in that moment that if there is indeed a treasure for me, that the treasure cannot be the outcome of being identified with another treasure hunt that begins with pain? Don't you get it? Pain drives you to seek pleasure, however it's defined. Pain drives us to blame others for being in the pain we are, and that's our treasure. So the first thing is this knowledge, and it can only be, by the way, it can only be communicated. You could even read what I'm saying to you and it would not have the same meaning. You could read it and it would not have the same meaning. That's a fact. The first knowledge is communicated man to man, man to woman, woman to man. It's communicated through spirit. And the first knowledge is that you and I are not here to continue to try to possess treasure that winds up possessing us. Period. Because in the pursuit of those things, we lose our souls. We lose our life, if you don't like the word soul. We lose our life to the hope of fulfillment, which is the seed of fear. When, if there is indeed, which we're going to prove, this treasure beneath the treasure, there's nothing that one pursues. One already has living in the very center of themselves the very treasure for which they seek. Then it doesn't take time. And you don't need what you loosely call friends. Get 50 people together, agree on what a treasure is, and they'll trample anyone who's in the way and justify themselves. So that new knowledge begins to give this new relationship inside of us an actual foothold. Meaning that I begin to see very clearly from moment to moment that there is another way for me to see what I am and what's happening to me in the moment. How simple is that? There is another way for me to see what I am and what's happening to me in the moment. That very seeing of the existence of another way to know yourself proves that all the former ways in which you knew yourself that began with pain and gave birth to a promise, that that paradigm, that prison, was never real. How would you like, right in the middle of a problem, right in the middle of a heartache, right in the middle of a fear, right in the middle of a worry, to have a celestial friend? And every time this problem started, every time that regret began, every time that resentment started to foment, right in the middle of it, inwardly, a friend would come along and say, "That's not all there is. Remember?" And because you have in you the remembrance of this friend, meaning this new understanding, and the relationship that is given you, because now something comes and speaks to you in proper moments, not about what to do with your pain, but that the pain itself is a limitation that one believes is being the very foundation of their life. Ah, thank you, friend. Because I woke up this morning and man, I was discouraged. Do you ever wake up discouraged? I woke up this morning, I felt so blue. They mistook me for Paul Bunyan's ox. Reads the story of Big Blue and Paul Bunyan if you don't know it, for heaven's sakes. Jeez. And that new relationship is the beginning of authority. Because now, instead of taking who you are and what is possible for you to do based on the content of your own mind as you once swallowed it whole, telling you what had you captive and what you needed to do about it, instead now you actually have a new way in which to see your own life. And it is that relationship with intelligence, with a capital I, that eventually becomes the true foundation of a person's life, in which the authority they have always been seeking over themselves is now given to them moment to moment to moment, without any effort on their part at all. Because that intelligence that's born in that new relationship cannot compromise itself. It can't defeat itself. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. So that's what we're going to look at, is this idea of new knowledge, new relationship, and new authority. And we're going to put it in a special way of looking at it that begins with the following. Take a nice deep breath. First, knowledge. Now, you're going to have to take a couple deep breaths, actually, because this is a little bit deeper than maybe what we're used to. But let's not fight with it. Okay, let's just listen and see if it's true. Can you do that? Okay, well, pull your jaws back a little bit. Whatever we see that becomes our experience in the moment, we actually see in two places. Whatever we see in the moment that becomes our experience, we actually see in two places. What does that mean, we see it in two places? Now listen carefully, and if you kind of watch a little bit while I'm talking, you'll see this is so. First, you're looking at me. I'm looking at you. So you see me here, don't you? But do you see me here? You see a man sitting in a chair, moving his hands around. But you actually see me not here, but on the screen of your mind. So you see me here as an object, and you see me on the screen of your mind in your consciousness at the same time. So there's really two seeings, in a manner of speaking. Let's go slow. I look out at you, there you are, and you may or may not be out there, so to speak. You'll understand that in a minute. But the fact is that where I'm actually seeing you is right up here. You got it? I see you in my mind.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit GuyFinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit GuyFinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
Now, the experience of what I see and the fact of what I see are often very different things. Because I can look out at you and see one thing, and someone can be sitting next to me and look out at you and see something altogether different. Someone sitting next to me might say to me, "Why do you want to sit here and look at that?" Because they look and they see faces that make them afraid. So they see something that is objective. That's the first. Then they also see something subjectively, don't they? I see what is out there, and what I see is out there, I see in my own experience of it. This is very important to understand. We're talking about knowledge now, necessary knowledge. How many of you understand this? It's an elementary idea that at any given moment, that my experience is predicated not on what I'm actually seeing physically, but what I see in the mirror of my own mind that is the reflection of that. Got it? All right, now, here's the problem. All day in, day and out, is that when you look out at life, life itself is life. But there's always a new you seeing life. Like, imagine a parade of characters, all with a certain eye, a certain sense of you, walking by and looking at a scene. Then they would all get together and they would talk about what they saw. For instance, I was with Willie yesterday. I was with Willie 5 minutes ago, and Willie was great. And then 5 minutes later, you see Willie again in quotes, and another you sees Willie not approving of you. Now, Willie's not so great anymore. And when you start looking at yourself and you see that all the time there is a continual change of the way in which you experience what you see, then you can begin to understand a very fundamental and important point, which is this. How can there be peace in my own heart? How can I be at rest if everything I see, as I see it, is seen by a me that I don't know, just saw it, and that then compares notes with another me that's in conflict? For instance, one minute I want you, the next minute I don't. Can anybody tell me how that's possible? How about this? Have you ever loved your life? You know, this is great. And 2 seconds later, I hate my life. How can you love your life and hate your life at the same time? Can you tell me that? And if you love your life and then you hate your life, did you love your life? And if you hate your life, did you really hate it if you love it a moment later? I'm trying to show you something inherent in the way the mind operates. That it sees in two places at once, but it doesn't know that it sees in two places at once. The truth is, it doesn't know that it sees anything actually outside of itself. It only sees the images that are produced on the screen of itself relative to its momentary experience of the moment. And I know it's a long sentence, based on the particular way you feel in that moment. So when this me feels good, you're a beautiful crowd. When you got confidence, have you ever had that? Anybody have confidence? You got confidence, it doesn't matter what people are doing. Yeah. In fact, it's often quite rude, incidentally, people who have confidence. Why? Because they're absolutely seeing on the screen of their mind themselves wandering through life, conquering everything, not noticing they're running over people while they're doing it. But the point is an essential one, is that when you look out, you are seeing two things presently. You are seeing first the objective reality, meaning that which is. Then you are seeing that which is not, meaning you are seeing what your mind is showing you about what you see. Now, the reason that's important to understand is because there cannot be unity in a human being as long as there is disparity between what sees and what is seen. I wish you could understand that. How many of you get agitated? Well, you might as well hold your hands up. I'm going to ask a few questions. You get upset, worried, frightened, yada, yada, yada. How many of you have trouble with people? Well, cheer up, bunko. You think the trouble is in what you see outside of you. So you try to change people. You try to control conditions that cause conflict. That mind looks at the world that it sees and says is outside of it as being the reason for the disturbance inside of us. So it's always in war with the world. I'm saying to you that the new knowledge we need, if we're going to change our relationship between the world, ourselves, and within ourselves, is to actually understand that when you look out at the world, it is not the world you are seeing as it is. You are seeing yourself as you are and painting what you see. It paints what you see. It paints it. And you see, I tell you, this is the God's honest truth. You might as well have your hands clapped over your eyes when you're talking to another person for the depth of the relationship you have with them. Because all you see is what you remember about them, what they stir in you that causes a reaction. So that there's no relationship in reality with what you see. The relationship is between your own reaction to what your mind is showing you is happening. Can you understand me? All right. Now I'm saying that there can never be peace that way. A man can never have a quiet heart that way. His mind can never be truly rested. Because he, she is always in a state of being apart from life. And believing that the sensation that comes with being apart from life, lonely, empty, frightened, that the sensations can be satisfied, meaning put to rest, if he could just manage to get the rest of the world to line up with how he thinks it's supposed to be. And that's what we've done. That's what the treasure hunt has been about for us. We perceive outside of ourselves what is actually something that is a direct reception of a relationship of thought with thought inside of our own minds. And we can never find peace that way. There'll never be peace on earth until a person starts to understand. In the moment, here I am, I'm looking out. I'm looking at someone, they're really getting on my nerves. Now, if that person was actually doing something to get on your nerves, wouldn't that person get on every human being's nerves in the world? Meaning if you were sitting there with 10 people, there would be 10 people whose nerves were being bugged by this guy that was over there. Yes or no? But that's not what happens. And so a person, without knowing it, vacillates back and forth, trying to resolve this inherent disturbance without understanding the disturbance is due to a disconnect in their own mind. A disconnect in their own understanding. And the root of that disconnect is what we're interested in. Because if we can begin, now listen closely, if we can begin to see it, and I'm wondering if you can.
When you wake up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed, how do you know you woke up on the wrong side of the bed? How do you know?
Feel bad.
It's a bad day. Really, no point in even getting out of bed, for that matter. Because things are not going to go right. Now, you get up in the morning, you open your eyes, and you see it's a bad day. Can somebody tell me what a bad day looks like? I mean it. You wake up and what you see is there's no way you're going to get done what has to get done today. Can you show me what there's no way what you have to get done today looks like? I'm really asking. You see, because you see it, but you never question it. In comes the discouragement. In comes the despair. In comes the self-pity. In comes a flood of negative states based on what you see. And I'm asking you to tell me, where is what you see in real life? And the answer is, it's not there. The answer is, it's being projected inside of a mind that pursues certain sensations because they're familiar to it, and that's all it cares about. Including not caring what you do to other people when you're negative and believing that the picture you see and the pain in it is all there is. And God help anybody that's around you when that's what you see. So what we have to do, now listen, we have to understand and end our relationship with this disconnection. And this is where it gets really fun. Because how can I end the disconnect? I'm the phone off the hook. You know, metaphorically speaking. I mean, my mind, it sees what it sees. Would you? How many of you think to yourself, you know, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to think as many negative things as I possibly can. Because that'll really be a great way to start. Anybody here? You all do it. And that negative state, it's never there by itself. No negative state can exist by itself. It is a one-legged creature that must always borrow a leg from you. And the leg is, I'm justified in the way that I feel right now, because if you had to do what I have to do, or if you'd been what I went through, or if you looked at what I see out coming out there, you'd be negative too. It's impossible. So along comes this picture that's justified by the content of one's own rationale of their own experience. And the human being lives in the cell of themselves without ever recognizing that they closed the door, they painted the walls and locked it. That's new knowledge. Why? What does it mean? How does that produce a new relationship because of this? Take a nice deep breath. This is really important to understand. How many of you can see in some small way the truth of what we've been saying? Okay. Does the truth of what we are looking at, is it a captive of what we're looking at, or is it a revelation about what we're looking at? Which is it? It's a revelation, meaning that the truth of a situation always sits not only within the heart of it, but also outside of it, else you would never be able to see the truth of it. Yes or no? So awareness of a condition, whatever it is, transcends that condition. Because I'm no longer a captive of it. I mean, with knowledge, we're just at the knowledge level here. With my mind, I can see now that this condition that I'm habitually caught up in, I recognize it really doesn't. And have you ever had this feeling? You say, yeah, that's it. I'm never going to be a captive again. Because for a moment, by the way, you're a captive of a certain feeling about never being a captive again. But that's another story. Awareness of a condition transcends the condition. Awareness of a state is broader than the state it is aware of, even though they are one. Broader. If I'm aware of a negative state, actually conscious of it, and I see it, am I not in a new relationship with that state? I am.
And if I'm in a new relationship with that state, isn't the very fact of that new relationship an authority that wasn't there prior to that relationship? Yes, it is. Because prior to that, all the choices I had were given to me by the negative state. All the feelings, all the way in which I looked at it, were part and parcel of what that state produced on the screen of the mind that said, that's all there is. But now I can see that the mind that says that's all there is, I can even see when I see only that, that that's not all there is to see.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks 4 times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
So suddenly there's a new authority. Now, whose authority is it? It's not mine. But I'm in relationship with it. The part of me that understands and sees that actually has a foot, metaphorically speaking, in a world that is not part of the cell. I'm actually, to use a phrase, I'm actually in it but not of it in that moment. You've heard that idea, to be in the world but not of it. I'm in it but I'm not of it. Why? Because I have begun to find the treasure beneath the treasure. I have begun at last to recognize that there is something that exists that transcends this eternal set of opposites in their movement. And in essence, I'm going to get to it, what it is, because now we're going to talk about the new authority, the new way in which we work. Stillness is the home that exists unseen between the beginning and the end. Stillness is the unseen home that exists between the beginning and the end. Now, what does that mean? Stillness is the unseen home. Connect now in your minds that we're talking about this treasure beneath the treasure. We talked about how those things that we pursued in order to please ourselves and gain a sense of power, that in themselves they weren't so much a problem as the fact that nothing about them remained, and that when they passed, we had to go and pursue new ways in which to know ourselves through similar things. Never thinking to ourselves that we have been given a kind of misleading understanding of life, and that maybe the treasure we sought all along had nothing to do with the things that the mind were trying to pursue, but rather belong to a world in which those thoughts that create those treasures and imagine them can't enter into. When you see life, you see what stillness allows you to see. If you use your minds properly, you can understand that what you look at any given moment is that which moves. You see that which stands out. You see that which is apart. But everything that we see, without exception, we see because stillness permits it. Everything. Just use your mind in an average way. You look out the window, and here's all of these objects. Even the very movement of your own eye as it analyzes what it looks at is creating a certain sense of yourself relative to perception. The treasure that we're after
has to do with recognizing that in any given moment, and I'm going back to what I said, here I am, awareness of my condition transcends it. And when it transcends it, it transforms it. And if I can start to recognize, and we said this, what is my condition? I'm taking you right back to the beginning of thought. What is my condition in any given moment? What is your condition in any given moment? Isn't it the relationship that you have with what you see on the screen of your mind? Isn't that what we experience? I'm experiencing what I'm thinking. I'm experiencing the way I see things. Take a breath now. This is important. I experience the way I see things. But we've shown that what I see is not what is. We've shown that. So my experience in the moment is always this relationship that a certain part of myself has with what it believes is true about myself. And what we're looking at here, and I have to get to it now, is there, I know, I hope this isn't too deep. I know it is, but I got to do it anyway. Do you understand that all the movement that takes place in our lives has to do with that which we see as being true, the need to reconcile it with the world that we say is the truth behind it? I'm going to say it again because I know you didn't get it. All right, listen. How many of you have busy minds? Let's just get simple. All the time. Working, thinking. Got to resolve. Resolve what? Resolve what? Resolve the difference between the way I see the world and the world that I blame for what I see. You know, was it Kramer and Five? That's what's wrong with Kramer. You want to listen? His mind is in a never-ending dance, trying to line up 2 feet that it believes are on the same body, and they're not. So this terrible, constant movement inside of a person whose very origin produces discouragement, produces, oh boy, great possibilities. The whole gamut, left and right, of the opposites of these powerful emotions as they swing between winning and losing, is the product of a mind that looks out, sees the world as being the same as its perception of it. So that mind is never-endingly trying to get the world to line up with what it says it must be, so the pain in it goes away. And it can't happen. Because even when that mind, through diligence and effort and struggle and desire, gets something just to stop long enough to look like it imagines it ought to, life changes. And it goes away, and when it goes away, you know well what happens to you. I've lost my treasure. Go get another treasure, or kill the people who are taking my treasure from me. Now what I'm saying to you is that there is only one quality inside of a human being in which it is possible for that which a person sees with their eyes to be exactly the same thing as the seer. In other words, no longer does one get caught up in this movement and this impossibility of trying to make life fit what one's conditioned ideas of life are supposed to be about go together. And that one moment in which a person recognizes, listen, that my reaction to what I see, even though it is all I see right now, is not all there is to see. My reaction to what she said, I see it as being the only possible way to see things. But when all I see is my reaction to you, then I'm going to try to control you so that I can get rid of this disturbance, this disconnect that exists in my very being. The mind is disconnected from life. The mind is disconnected from life. It takes the powerful surging of itself as it tries to control what it sees as being life.
A mind that is truly at one with life is at rest because it is in the essence of stillness. It isn't trying anymore to fill itself with ways in which to make itself feel better. It doesn't feel bad to begin with. It doesn't have a problem with people to begin with. It isn't dissatisfied with what the moment has brought because it isn't seeing the moment apart from its authentic self. And that takes stillness. That takes stillness. I only have 2 minutes left. Look, why does a boat have an anchor? Why does a boat have an anchor? Because if it didn't have an anchor, the thing would be carried away by the currents. Wave would pick it up, smash it into a reef, wouldn't it? Why does a boat have an anchor? Where's your anchor? You know what it's like to be carried away by that thought, that feeling. What's with that person? Why are they like that? What's going to happen to me? Won't know. You know all these waves. And the waves are produced by the disparity between the mind that sees what it gives itself and the world that produces that stirring in it. That's the disparity. That's the waves, the incessant rocking of the opposites. And that incessant rocking of the opposites cannot be resolved by the wave. A wave can't resolve a wave. The human being is given an anchor. And the anchor, which of course you know, well, it does connect. Be still and know that I am God. Stillness. But see, you don't have to name it God. You don't have to call it anything. You don't have to give it any name. In fact, I kind of urge you not to in a way. But here I am. I'm starting to feel the waves. I'm looking out. My God, what's happened? Don't you see? Have you ever said to yourself, oh my God, what's happened? See, does it ever occur to you that what you're saying, what happened about, you just put on the screen of your mind for you to say, what happened? Because that's what happened. Oh, no. I'll never make it. What are you looking at? You're looking at a mind that produces pictures that please it so that it can keep that powerful sense of self in place. And one day wait a minute. I'm starting to feel the waves of the boat. Where's the anchor? Ah, the anchor. And I do all that I know to do to be still. I get still. I remember that I can't change what I see on the screen of my mind by giving myself another picture to look at. That's the knowledge. The relationship is instantaneous because now I'm no longer in relationship with the mind that is changing pictures so that it can change its perception. Because nothing changes except for the fact of how you look at what's going on. And in the stillness that must be inherent in the action of a mind that recognizes how it is agitating itself and separating itself from life, in that stillness is the authority. Because now I'm no longer a pain unto myself. I'm no longer a pain unto other human beings. I'm not participating anymore in who and what I was because I have found the treasure beneath the treasure. Think of it. Go still. Learn to go still when the mind starts running. And bear what happens when the waves, instead of carrying you, begin to reveal to you where it is that you've been carried away by something that you never intended to be carried away by.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit GuyFinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.